We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to PrizePicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Packaday Podcast. The holy crap, I think we're there.
Packaday Podcast, and it's not a holy crap, I think we're there. We are there. Mercifully. It is. Draft, yeah. Put us out of our misery. Tell us who the picks are. We just want to know at this point. But it's, you know, the most fun. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. The last couple weeks, as we've talked about on this pod, and as most people, I really think that cover and follow the draft like we do, the last couple weeks are kind of boring. I think Goody even said that yesterday on his presser. It's like, it's kind of boring, like, this time of year. Like things are pretty much locked in. It's just kind of like overthinking and lying season more than anything. But speaking of overthinking, you know, what we're going to do today, and I guess I kind of buried the lead. I'm Jacob Morley. You can follow me on Twitter at Jacob Morley. And we got Owen Reese here as well. You can follow him at Reese Draft on Twitter, the X Machine. And what we're going to do is something that is kind of a fun little exercise. And I guess I need to preface this with kind of explaining what we've done. We call it the Packers draft. And the last couple of years, Ross Uglum, Jacob Westendorf, and myself have done this. And so what I have sitting in front of me is 30 players. And we essentially snake draft people, prospects who we think are going to be Packers, guys that throughout the process either stood out from a testing standpoint or just a film aspect or things we've heard about people that they are interested in. So we've got 30 guys in front of us. So we, like I said, you can't pick the same guy twice. We try to get who can get the most. Last year, I've got the title belt right now. I think I got Luke Musgrave and Dontavian Wicks last year. Dorf had two really close ones last year. He picked Ben Sims as a guy who he eventually did get right. And Keaton Mitchell was another one that he had on his short list that, was a really good pick because that was someone that they were very interested in, which has been pretty widely reported. Ross has never gotten a pick right in the 3 years we've done this. So maybe he'll get five this year. I don't know. This is just, you know, very much a crapshoot. You know, Owen and I, we were talking about this before we jumped on here. Like, these are guesses. There, you know, you can get led to water if you pay attention close enough. But ultimately, there's 31 other teams, and these really are guesses. So what we're going to do today is, you know, Owen's got a list of 10 guys as well, and he's going to rattle off his people. And I'm going to tell you, hey, that's a guy that's on my list, or that's a guy that's on Jacob's list, or, you know, so on and so forth. And then we can kind of talk about those guys as we move forward. I already know that there probably is going to be a couple guys that Owen has on his list that neither Jacob, myself, or Ross have on their list, which is really the beauty of this all. So that's how the game is going to work. But before we start, Owen, how you doing, man?
Doing well, man. We're getting close. We're getting really close. I obviously, as a Packer fan, it's exciting for me. But then also as well, just with my work with the East-West Shrine Bowl, always a lot of anticipation heading up to this. Last year, we had a first-round pick in Zay Flowers. I don't foresee that happening this year necessarily, unless something crazy happens with Edge Cooper or something like that. But very excited. Like I said, we kind of knew about Zay, but like guys like Juice Scruggs and Broderick Martin and Jelani Woods over the last couple of years, really kind of not being surprised day two picks, but like anywhere in that area, right? Like you really don't know where guys are going to go. And at that point, there's still so many guys available that whenever you see one, you're like, oh, holy, you know, like, holy crap. You know, like that's good for that kid. And so just always exciting for us to see that. Obviously most of our guys are day three guys, but yeah, man, just getting excited. We're kind of past the point of pain now, right? And now you can just kind of like take it for what it is and enjoy it because you're past, right? We can't control anything, but you know, the cows have been put in the barn, right? Everything's kind of done now. So now you can just kind of sit back and wait and you know, you can choose to enjoy it as a fan, or you can continue to like just get mad at everyone they picked wasn't the exact person that you found on the mock simulator. You know, Josiah DeWara, I don't know if you knew this, but Josiah DeWara was a consensus fifth round pick by the media. So I don't know why the Packers didn't listen to the media and draft him in the fifth round.
Yeah. That's an instance where they probably should have chalked that one up to the media, but
your takes point, one team, Morley, only takes one team.
And that was the thing too. I remember that draft too. Like I really liked Dalton Keene in that year's draft class. And then he went like three picks after DeGuara. And even as someone, I was like, man, I really liked Keene, but holy crap, that's high to take him. And guess what? They both probably should have been drafted later, but that's how this goes, man. Especially outside of the top 50, and especially in this year's class. Like, I think it's important for people to realize, and I was just talking to some people about this when you're like really starting to break down, like, who do you want them to take at 25? Like the guys that I would be legit, like, oh man, hell yeah. Like that's a great pick. Like it's, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, I would be pumped about that. Jared Verse, I'd be pumped about that. Fuatu, the kid, you know, the tackle out of what, I'd be pumped about that. But like guys like Edger and Cooper, guys like Graham Barton, I like, you'd be like, oh, cool. Yeah. But it's a lot of guys that you're like, man, they'd probably – like I would be thrilled with Edgerrin Cooper. I'd be thrilled with Graham Barton at 41. You know, and that's just like – you have to understand.
That probably like, their name, right? Like
– yeah. But it's like
– or insert safety they have been reportedly interested in.
Yeah. Here. And it's a lot of guys like that where you just kind of look like, oh, I'd much rather have them at 41. But like this year's draft, I mean, it's like – 25 where the Packers are picking is kind of the cutoff where you're starting to look at 25 and 41. Guess what? They're going to be really similar players on the board, you know? So maybe they, you know, Goody talked about in his presser on Monday that he, man, I'd like 13, 14 picks. So maybe he does want to trade down. Maybe he does trade back, pick up an extra third, you know, I don't know. They're in an interesting spot, but Owen, Give me one player at a time on your 10 player list, and I will tell you whether or not one of the three of us also have them on our list.
Okay. So this admittedly is from a mock that I did today, almost solely off of just simply Packers names. I was not full disclosure. I was not aware that this was the format that we were doing for the show when I did it, but it does ironically work out perfectly. So, number one, we already discussed him multiple times on the pod and today, but Graham Barton. I just think he's at the risk of sounding like Packers Twitter for the most part, right? Like, he checks every box. He is very versatile. He has has experience as a blindside protector. Also has experience at center. He's an elite athlete for the offensive line position, regardless of which one you want to slot him in at. 4 years starting experience, multiple positions. Been one of the top tackles in the country the last couple of years. Just played at Duke, which this year was pretty cool with Mike Elko, and now I expect Duke to return to Duke-like levels. But just a guy that I think – with the way the Packers play, would be a extremely safe double with the – but, like, flirting with, like, warning track area, right? Like, could turn into a home run, but I think very, very, very safe double in the first round.
Yeah, and he's high floor, high ceiling, which I think is appealing with him. And he was mine. I took him with my second round pick. So, you know, he's a guy that came off the board really quickly, kind of surprised even that he was still there. And I think maybe that is some fatigue that all three of us were just like, yeah, he's the obvious choice. Honestly, the reason I think he might not be a Packers, I don't know if he's going to be there at 25.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me if he goes late teens.
Yeah, and he's a guy, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes 19, 20. I'd be surprised, but not shocked if he's there at 41. You know, like, I mean, the crazier things have happened.
Yeah.
This is a really deep offensive line class too. So maybe he's not everyone's cup of tea.
I don't know. Yeah. As easily as we're able to spin it as like, oh my God, the versatility and he could play wherever. It would be just as easy for an NFL team with a tackle need, but not a guard need, to be like, well, I don't know if he's a tackle. Like, right. I can just take a tackle. There's a bunch of really good tackles. I don't need that. Right. And so it's all beauty in the eye of the beholder, right? Like, if you're a gap scheme team, you're probably not taking him.
Yeah.
Right. Or at least not at 18 or whatever. Right. So, like, it's just a, you know, as easily as it is for us to say, like, well, yeah, his versatility is what makes him so appealing. It's like kind of like the same on the same side. If you're not looking for that, like, well, I don't know, like, he doesn't do anything super well. Right. Like, he's just a kind of jack of all trades, master of none. So just choosing how you just depends on how you look at it.
And that's, you know, you look at the way the Packers do offensive line and you're like, why doesn't everyone do that? Which it honestly maybe is a valid question, but not everyone does. And someone might be looking at a guy like Mims from Georgia and just be like, shoot, like, that guy's a right tackle. We need a right tackle. And I know what he is, like, boom, done, you know? So to your point, like, not everyone thinks the same way the Packers do. And that's all right. But so Graham Barton is on our board as well. My second round pick. Give me your next guy.
So my next guy is another guy, extremely slow start to the show here. Another guy that we've discussed quite a bit, Tyler Newbin, safety out of Minnesota. I think if the Packers don't take him at 25, I think they are praying to whoever they pray to, the spotted cow god, that he's there at 41, or it would not surprise me. They traded up for Christian Watson a couple years ago. It would not surprise me if they really value him, if they took one of the – we're trading from 41, we're going to give up a fifth and a seventh to go up to 36 and take Tyler Newbin, and then that way they lock in their guy. Like I said, not to name drop or to get in a pissing match with anybody, but through my connections with the game, I've talked to a couple scouts with the Packers. I was like, are you concerned about Newbin's testing? They just pretty openly said no.
Yeah.
So obviously we've discussed Milt Hendrickson's brother is the DPP at Minnesota, right? So who's to say that Green Bay doesn't have a little bit, maybe even a little bit more access into that program than anyone else gets, right? And so he's another guy just to me, like I've kind of gotten stuck on, which isn't probably good practice, but just seems like there's a little bit too much smoke there. And at the same token, who's to say that the testing doesn't scare away a few teams that may have considered him in the late 20s, and then all of a sudden he's there at 38, and they decide to jump up and go get him.
Yeah, nobody took him between Ross, Dorf, and I, which is something that he was on my mind almost every single pick just because of talking to you through this process. And I know you've had a lot of conviction about the fact that Green Bay is interested in him. For me, it's just, one, I love the player. Like, I do. Like, the tape is awesome. He's safety one with a bullet in this year's draft class if you're just going strictly off the tape. But he just – he would be so outside what they normally do. And I'm not saying they won't do it. But he, I just – for me, it's like I got to see him do it before I can really open myself up to that in the first round. If they took Tyler Newbin at 25, zero issue. Like, honestly, zero issue with it. I think he's a hell of a football player, and I think he's going to help this team. And I think that's going to be, if he does end up being a Packer, that's going to be the joke, the running joke of when he's a good player. Like, oh, wow, didn't look like a 4.6 athlete there. Oh, wow, didn't look like a 4 RAS there.
31-inch vertical there, yeah.
Yeah, so, and because you turn on the tape, and that's, none of it really adds up. So, that'd be cool. I'd have a lot of fun watching the Twitter streets burn as well. That would be maybe worth it in itself, just because nobody... You know, none of the threshold nerds like myself would have him on their shortlist because he's not that. So that'd be kind of fun just in itself to see that.
Every one of these, I'm just going to hear old Chris Berman. So you're all off of Tyler Newbin.
Yep. Yep. That's how it's going to be. But we'll see. All right. So you got Barton, Newbin. Who's your next third guy?
Third guy is more of a – this admittedly is more of a position emergency – filler. I think Edgerrin Cooper would probably be the more realistic guy, but depending on where they go or what happens, Junior Colson seems to be another name that's very probably in that second to third round range of going to get pushed up a bit due to the neediness at linebacker and the lack thereof in this class. Also coming off a national championship, believe on the Ringers mock draft they did the other day on a pod, I think Danny Kelly took him with the Seahawks at 32, which would be, again, a bit of that linebacker tax, but more of a result of circumstance and the exercise. But I think a linebacker that makes a lot of sense for them. Still curious to see. I think, like I said, we've discussed this a couple weeks ago. I think in a perfect world, Green Bay would like to play Quay at Mike. I think he's probably more of a will. I'm also curious to see. Devondre Campbell was pretty open about some of his critiques with the prior scheme and coaching staff in Green Bay. And so maybe we'll see a different Quay Walker than we've seen the last couple of years. But until that happens, I think Junior Colson probably provides a bit more true Mike flexibility and would allow Quay to play will as opposed to Edge Cooper. So I will go with that option.
Yep, nobody took Colson in ours, and that's an interesting one because I agree with you that if it's not Edge Coop, then I think he makes a ton of sense. I think with him, he didn't test, right? Like, we don't have his number, so, like, he's a guy that I think a lot of people are like, oh, I don't really know what kind of athlete he is. Like, I'll say Ross had the first pick in our draft, or the whole thing, and he took Edgerrin Cooper with the first overall pick. So who he thinks out of this entire draft class, like, is going to be the pick at some point for the Packers. He put Edgerrin Cooper. Another linebacker that went for us is Trevin Wallace. In the same vein, you know, just super athlete. Had they brought him in for a visit? All that kind of stuff. And I think we didn't really hit the linebackers heavy. I think I took Wallace with my third overall pick. And then I think Dorf took, like, the Mizzou kid. And Jalen Carlees. Is that how you say it?
He's a safety though. But yeah,
safety. Who's the Hopper? Sorry, Hopper's the linebacker.
The other one I'd be curious about, and this is more simply a very vibes-ish, although I do believe he tested well and would probably be a bit like Steel Chambers from Ohio State. This is not one of my picks, but he's another linebacker I think would make some sense. Has some coverage ability. Has some scheme flexibility. I think he could probably play Sam or Will. Just a guy that I think, well, from what we've seen, Goody's probably going to attack needs with bodies. And if he was a fifth-round pick for the Packers, it wouldn't surprise me type of thing. Like, is not the big high profile, high draft pick guy, but experienced guy, played a ton of games at Ohio State, good athlete, flexible, going to play teams. You're going to need more linebackers simply on the roster than they've had the last couple of years with the switch to the forefront. Just hedging my bets and throwing out names.
Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid. And guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through Game Time. My experience with Game Time has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
And the linebacker position, like, it's not a great one in this year's draft, and they might have to take a guy and play him. And a guy like Steel Chambers is a guy that I think you can get through a season with. And right. And as uninspiring as that sounds, that's kind of just the reality sometimes. Of like, yeah, this guy, we know this guy's not our long-term plan, but
right now, Eric Wilson's the starting linebacker in Green Bay. So,
yep. Not great. And kind of the same vein too, where you're like, well, if we have to play him, we have to play him. And
we've done worse, but yeah.
Okay. So Junior Colson. So you got Barton, Newman, Colson. Give me your fourth.
Fourth one. Maybe a bit redundant with what my first choice was. And this is probably a bit more selfish. I would love to see Mason McCormick in Green Bay. Super athlete, played a million snaps for the multi-time national champion or Jackrabbits, is going to be a guard or center, can't play tackle, that's fine, but is a stupid athlete, super physical, was probably the best. He or Christian Mahogany were probably the two best linemen at the Shrine Bowl. And if you would just helmet scout, one of those should not be in the same conversation with the other one. So I super impressed by Mason McCormick, was awesome all week. Every interaction I had with him, just kind of sold me on the kid, but knew about the player. Is athletic enough to be his own guy, has the physicality of a gap guy. People are asking about Zach Tom playing center or Josh Myers or John Runyon's gone and whoever else, right? Like, There's your next interior guy. I feel super comfortable about that. And again, fits every at the risk of sounding right, fits everything, checks every box. I'm sprinting to the podium if he's still there at 88.
So that's another guy. Another guy. And I love this because this is very much on brand for you, Owen, where Dorf, Ross, and I looked at all the athletic stuff, all the numbers, and all the everything, you know, and put together lists. And you're just like, nah, this guy. I like this guy. Which McCormick hits a lot of what they like, though. You know, yeah. As far as athletically, he's a
Tesla. Like, if they're willing to take Josh Myers in the second round, please take Jason McCormick.
Why not? You know, he's another guy that's like, yeah, is he going to – has he played tackle? No. Is he going to play tackle? No. But, like, you talk about someone that can come in and compete right away with Sean Ryan at right guard. If he loses that job out, there is your backup center and your backup swing guard. You know, like someone that you probably would want to cross train for that would make a lot of sense. Super experienced player. A lot to like with Mason McCormick. Just not someone that the three of us had on ours. All right. So you've got four. Who's your fifth?
So the fifth one is going to be Jerrion Jones from Florida State. Another guy that admittedly tested out of this world. I did not see that coming. Talked to him at the Shrine Bowl. He got moved to nickel corner the day before the LSU game in walkthroughs. And honestly, probably saved his NFL career. When he was an outside cornerback, I thought he couldn't run, and I did not think he was very good. Thought he would be an undrafted free agent. He was a big corner, whatever. They moved him to the nickel. Better able to utilize his short area quickness. He ran a 4.37. I do not think he plays that way, which is completely fine. But he's going to be a nickel. He's big. He can tackle. He can cover multiple spots. He's not a liability against backs out of the backfield. He's 6 foot, over 200 pounds. He can play. He can cover tight ends. He's going to tackle. Can play in the fit. You don't have to bring in extra guys to play. Like, you can stay in nickel more if you want to. They brought him in for a 30 visit. I wouldn't be surprised if Jerrion's a guy who sneaks into day two somewhere near the end, who, again, like, admittedly, like, I did not have a draftable grade on Jerrion Jones coming into the year for the Shrine Bowl stuff, and I'm now advocating for him to be a third-round pick. So, like, I also, and this is very doesn't matter, I think I brought this up on a pod a couple weeks ago, like, at the Combine, talked a ton about, like, thanking Mike Norvell for sticking with him, and knows he was a pain in the butt when he was younger and more immature and lacked a lot of those things. He talked about, like, you know, Coach Norvell made me a man. Florida State made me a man. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me. I know it wasn't always easy. And so just very impressed with him as a young man and a kid. And that makes me feel a bit better about pushing him as a football player as well. Again, area of need. I think Keyshawn Nixon can play that spot. That's fine. I don't think Keyshawn Nixon's defensive back ability should keep you from investing in the position. And okay, never have enough corners.
Yeah. And so Jerrion Jones is on our list. That's another one, a guy that I took. He was my fourth pick. And for a lot of the reasons you just said, you know, his versatility on the back end, someone that, you know, Goody talked about Cooper DeJean on Monday, like, could barely hide how much he was blushing about how much he liked Cooper DeJean. And Jerrion Jones is kind of like the discount version of that in a lot of ways, where it's like you can play him in a lot of spots. I think Cooper can play on the outside and probably thrive. I don't think Jones can, but you want to play him in the slot. You want to play him at safety. I think he can do both those things. And he's someone that tested like they like. He's got the size that they really like. And, oh, by the way, they actually brought him in for a top 30 visit as well. So someone that is, you know, certainly on their radar.
And the last thing I'll say about Jones, Packers are going to play a lot of man, I think. Jerrion Jones loves playing man-to-man coverage. Was asked about it. Like, one of my favorite quote at the Combine. Talked about running man and in the slot at FSU. Said, Men lie, women lie, the numbers don't. Check my man coverage ratings.
That's hilarious. And so, okay, so him and Jair will be hilarious next
time. Correct. Then.
So,
correct.
Which, and Carrington Valentine loves to talk too. So that's not like a That's not like a measurable trait, but whenever my corners talk shit, I really like it.
I want
them.
Everybody to hate playing the Green Bay Packers defense.
Yes. Yep. And, you know, bring them on.
Always. All right. So even back when they had like Mike Daniels, I was like, they just don't have enough. Like Josh Jones was always like not a good football player, but like the closest to being like a bully or a villain on defense. Like, you need more of that.
Yep. Someone that's, whenever there's a scuffle, whenever there's something going on, there's green and gold in the middle of it with their hands up acting like they don't know why.
Correct. I didn't do anything. I didn't.
What are you talking about? I'm pesky. I'm pesky all day long. Like, you love to see it. And there's kind of some of that starting to grow in Green Bay. Hopefully Halfley can kind of harness that and use it. But all right, we're through five. Let's try to pick up the pace a little bit here.
Yep.
So, Jerry Jones, who's your sixth?
Next, I'm going to go with Jalen Wright, the running back out of Tennessee. I think with you had seen with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, they really kind of had a for lack of a better term, right, a scat back and a power back. I think Josh Jacobs is probably closer to a power back, but is a bit more well-rounded. A.J. Dillon technically still on the roster. I think Jalen Wright would provide a bit more home run hitting ability from the running back spot, more of that smooth, twitchy athlete that you kind of saw out of Jones, more of that wide zone type back. I'm curious to see, he played in a completely fake made up offense at Tennessee where they're seeing like four man boxes on first and 10 against 10 personnel. It makes my eyes bleed. But I think he's a guy, again, like the requisite physical tools are there. Has shared carries a lot of the time at Tennessee, even this past year with Jabari Small. So not a ton of mileage there. And again, one of the few guys in this class, I think that's truly like a threat to threaten defenses. That's a very poor word choice, but a true, like, you need to account for him when he's on the field type of guy running back. And I think that's something that the Packers running back room doesn't currently have with Aaron Jones' absence.
If Aaron Jones possessed the type of breakaway playmaking ability that Jalen Wright has, they might have two more rings.
Right.
You know, and like, if you're mad about Aaron Jones, who I'm not mad about it, but if you're mad about him getting caught from behind on a couple of these big playoff games, like, Jalen Wright doesn't.
No.
Just doesn't. Like, he, I think Tyler Dunn had a feature on him today that's, go check out. It's pretty cool. And he just talks about, like, if I see nobody in front of me, I know I'm gone. And that's such a dangerous thing to have. And in this offense where they already have speed all over the place, Jalen Wright would be a really fun addition to this offense. He was really, really close to being a my guy in this year's draft class. I think I actually had him in there for a second, but put someone else. I think I put Cooper Beebe in there over him, like, at the end. But he's a really fun player and actually someone that Ross selected. So that's another guy, another person. So, yeah, so he's not going to be a Packer, essentially. Ross will be wrong. But, no, Jalen Wright, awesome player, running back out of Tennessee. Give me your seventh.
Next one is another Shrine Bowler because I am shamelessly a fan. Was awesome with us down at the game. I think he's going to go earlier than where I had him here. Christian Boyd, nose tackle out of Northern Iowa. Fits a lot of – if Green Bay is switching to a forefront, there's going to be less guys like Jonathan Ford and TJ Slayton. There's going to be more dudes like Christian Boyd, 6'1 and a half, 320 – nose tackle with some juice, right? Like, is not just that huge A-gap plugger that can't really move. Is going to have some natural leverage. Is going to disrupt the pocket enough to warrant keeping on the field, but is just going to be stout in the run game and occupy bodies. And he's a guy who tested well. I think he had like 39 reps or something obnoxious in the bench press. Small school guy that people are kind of coming around on late. I believe the Packers had him in for a visit as well. A guy I would be very surprised if he was not in the green and gold in a week.
Yeah, and he's someone I actually haven't watched a ton of him. I think he wasn't a combine invite. Like, he's kind of one of
– No, he wasn't. It was absurd. Nerds. Absurd.
And so I think that's why he's getting a lot of visits. Dude, the poor guy's probably had to visit 30 teams because they probably wanted to see him at the combine, or he slipped through the cracks. I don't know. He's not a guy I watched a ton of, but obviously he played in the Missouri Valley against the North Dakota State Bison. So
quality competition.
Yeah. And so the biggest compliment I could give him is I know for a fact he was always a pain in the ass to play against. So Again, top 30 visit guy that could very well be a Packer, was not selected by anyone. And that kind of surprises me a little bit looking at, I thought Dorf picked him, but he did not. And neither did Ross, and neither did I. But he's one, kind of got snubbed in the combine, probably got snubbed in our draft as well, because he's a very obvious top 30 visit as well, which is something you kind of go off of. But Christian Boyd would be a very welcome addition to this team. Give me your eighth.
The next guy I have, again, kind of subscribing to the philosophy of throwing bodies at a position, I'm going to go with Trey Taylor, safety out of Air Force. I think he's going to be a guy who won the Pat Tillman Award for us at the East-West Shrine Bowl. I don't mean to draw that parallel just with the anniversary actually today of Pat Tillman's death, but also the position and military background. But Taylor's a guy who was a big-time athlete. He's going to play special teams. I don't know if he's ever a starter at the NFL level, to be honest. Good tackler, special teams. Was a good athlete as well. And selfishly, and again, not really a quantifiable thing, family member of Ed Reed, which is cool, just as a thing. But also, yeah, was very popular in interviews at the Shrine Bowl. And again, just kind of, if this is the same general manager that drafted Tariq Carpenter late, right, with Rich Passaccia, one of those guys, I assume, right, we're going to continue to want to bring in special team type guys. Trey Taylor seems like he fits the mold there.
So he's someone that no one picked, but was on my short list, and probably if I had two more picks would have taken, because he's a guy that fits everything that they really like as far as athletically. Like, he's a check, you know, a lot of green boxes across the board, and a position of need. Would not be shocked whatsoever if he was a Packer. I don't know what the deal is with his service background, if he's going to get exempt. I don't know honestly how that works. And that's part of the equation for me, is like, is that going to be something that stops him from getting drafted? I don't know. What's also interesting, you brought up he's Ed Reed's cousin or nephew or something. Did you know that Jaquan Jackson is also related to Ed Reed in this year's draft class?
I was listening to,
I think it was like the stock exchange,
NFL stock exchange.
I think Connor Rogers brought that up. I didn't know that.
Which is also, can't imagine you're listening to this podcast if you don't listen to that one. But if you do, we'll give them some free advertising. Trevor and Connor are very good at what they do. I remember them saying that. I think, like, yeah, there's two guys who are related to Ed Reed in this class, like last week. So, yeah, it's funny.
Which is hilarious, because I think I wrote up Jaquan for the draft guide and I didn't know that. You know, like, and so you hear, and it makes you kind of like, I don't really like Jaquan Jackson a whole ton of a lot, but you hear that he's related to Ed Reed and you go like, oh.
Just objectively makes him cooler.
Well, yeah, like if he's got some of that, you know, bloodline in him, Ed Reed, one of the all-time greats, you know, in the NFL. So very cool about Trey Taylor as well, that he plays the same position. And you watch him play at Air Force, and he, you know, I'm not comparing him to Ed Reed, obviously, but he's got some of that playmaking ability, you know.
He won the Jim Thorpe Award this year for the nation's top defensive back. So, yeah,
fun guy. Give me your ninth.
Number nine will be somewhat similar to Christian Boyd. I went with Juwan Briggs, the defensive tackle out of Cincinnati. Similar thing, a bit of an older prospect, but a shorter, thicker, more of a forefront nose tackle type. Was very disruptive in the one-on-ones, the Shrine Bowl. Obviously, those guys are they have that natural leverage. And as a definitely not bitter offensive lineman, right? Like, the D linemen always have an easy out in one-on-ones because they're just going to bull rush you, and nobody is ever really ready for bull rushes and one-on-one because you're expecting a pass rush move because defensive linemen are cowards. But nonetheless, Juwan Briggs, the guy, again, a little bit later, a little bit older of a prospect and probably one of those later day three guys. But again, I expect they're going to have more linebackers, to also have more interior defensive linemen, thank the Lord, on the roster, and just more guys to continue to rotate through and keep bodies fresh. In this defense, I assume being a bit more disruptive and upfield type players, I would assume. And so, again, you're going to want to continue to cycle bodies through there and keep them fresh. And Briggs is another guy for a low cost. Will bring you some run defense and some activity in a thicker, shorter, compact frame.
Yep, he is. There's a few guys in this year's draft class, and there always is, where you look at them, you're just like, I know exactly what that guy is. I know exactly how he's going to be successful in the NFL. Like, is he going to be someone I want to play on third downs? No, but there is still a spot for Juwan Briggs in this year, you know, in the NFL. And that is, hey, I'm going to trot you out there on first down. I'm going to trot you out there on short yardage situations, and you're going to do a job for me. And that's a valuable commodity. And something that, you know, if, and I think Ross talked about this on the Daily Draft, he had a, who's the A&M nose tackle? Do you know off the top of your head?
McKinley Jackson.
Yeah. So I think he did the Jackson prospect primer for him, and it was very similar where it's like, hey, I know exactly what you're going to be. So similar type players, and a guy that, you know, if Clark or Slayton go down, they don't really have anyone else on the roster that you feel comfortable putting out there that you're like, hey, they're going to actually be a problem in the run game. So, Briggs would be a cool pick on day three for the Packers. All right. Give me your last guy, 10th guy.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And then the last one I have for you, I have to assume between you and Ross, one of you two picked him, but Jalen Sundell, the offensive tackle from North Dakota State, played center prior to this year. And prior to this season, we did cross checks for the Shrine Bowl, and I had him listed, I believe, as the second highest rated center in the country. Like a athlete for us, which is obviously the best freakazoid athlete as a center. And then quickly after that, learned they were moving him to left tackle, which I thought made some sense. Had a good year with the Bison. Got dinged quickly at the Shrine Bowl, which I was bummed out about. We were really excited to have Jalen there, but Noy was healthy. Noy went through pro day workouts and all that good stuff, so I was happy to hear that. And he's a guy, again, same thing, tackle, center, top athlete, big-time playing experience, like, makes too much sense. If you're this is not the same at all, but if they miss on Graham Barton in the first round, if you get Jalen Sundell in the fourth, I'm not saying you're happy about it, but it's clear you were looking for a specific something out of that spot, and that's what I think you'll get with Sundell.
Yeah, I think, and so Ross took Sundell, and he kind of swiped him from underneath me because he would have been a pick for me, and not just because he plays at North Dakota State. When you crunch all the numbers and look at kind of everything they like typically in offensive linemen, he does check every single box, including the box that states, did you ever play tackle in college? Because he did. You know, he did it at a high level. So I think with Sundell, you look at him, and if you want to compare him to like Barton, I think Barton can play all five at like a high level in the NFL. I think Sundell might be able to play all five in a pinch. You know, like, he's not someone that you're like, oh, let's trot him out there at left tackle. Like, I think he could maybe do it, but for a
– I'd be able to get you out of a game.
Yeah, so, quarter or two, or if you got to play him for a game or two, like, that's maybe fine. That's maybe okay. I think he can be – I think he can start at center in the NFL. I think he can be a good center in the NFL, and that's probably where he ends up.
Wide zone center.
Yep. And I think he can, you know, have a nice career for himself if he lands in the right spot, right position. But all right, so I got your 10. I'm going to run through my 10 real quick. So we aligned on two with Graham Barton and Jerrion Jones. But my first overall pick, the second guy, was Marshawn Nealand. I don't love him. I don't love him as a prospect, but I think the Packers do. Cool. And then I took and so he's the edge rusher out of Western Michigan. That's been kind of getting some buzz recently too, as like a first round type guy.
He's a big projection guy too, yep. Because like Western Michigan's defense has not been very advantageous to him, right?
Nope,
we saw Braden Fiske, right? Went to Florida yep. State, and now he's gonna be like a third round pick. And you had both him and Nealand, who could be both top like 50 to 75 picks on the same defensive line in the MAC, and we're not good. Like,
and we're not wrecking people. Yeah, we're not wrecking people.
Yeah, yeah. Nealand playing in a frog stance. It's gonna be it's a projection for sure, but. And I think he's one of those guys that even though he's old, his best football is probably in front of him.
And that's and I probably have a blind spot for him because of how they used him. And it's like he's clearly an edge rusher at the NFL level, but he was playing, he's playing inside for Western Michigan. I like his effort is awesome. Like he's a hair on fire type guy, but he's such a projection. But I think he is someone that is going to be very interesting for the Packers if he is still sitting there at like 41. I don't know if they take him at 25. That'd be kind of bonkers. But they've done stuff like that. So he was my first pick. I just feel like, if he gets to a certain part, they're not spot in the draft. They're not going to be able to help themselves. Trevin Wallace. So we talked about Graham Barton. Obviously, he was my second pick. Trevin Wallace, the linebacker out of Kentucky. We briefly mentioned him. I think he is another like, hey, if you don't get Edgerrin Cooper, the A&M kid. With your 25 or 41, I think Wallace would be in play for 88 or 91, whatever those, pair of third round picks that they have. I think he'd be very attractive to them there. We talked about Jerrion Jones, the defensive back out of Florida State. He was my next pick. My next pick after Jerrion Jones was Kool-Aid McKinstry. That was kind of my first round. Like, hey, I think if he's sitting there at 25, I would not be shocked at all if Kool-Aid McKinstry was the pick at 25. I think things would have to fall a certain way for him to be the pick. But if he is, cool. Turn it in. I'm very happy with that. My next pick was Jordan Morgan, the offensive lineman out of Arizona. We don't need to rehash it. He is kind of cut from the same cloth as Barton and Sundell. Someone that you think can play, multiple spots for you across the offensive line. Nick Gargiulo, I think is how you say it. Gargiulo.
Yeah. So I felt bad. So he's been brought up. We've talked about him a couple times. I wasn't super familiar. So he's a grad transfer from Yale.
Mm-hmm.
And was that one year at South Carolina? Yeah. Yep. Stupid athlete.
Yep. And he's kind of the same as these other guys. Has played tackle, has played inside, really athletic. I think he's a day three type, but I think he's a day three type that the Packers have typically targeted. His tape is it's fine, but like project, they always seem to like to take on projects on day three. And he's a worthy lottery ticket is kind of where I see him. A guy that I don't think is a lottery ticket. My next pick, a guy that I think you just plug and play is Cooper Beebe. One of my favorite players in this year's draft class. Part of that, he's a my guy for me. And part of that is I coached against him when he was in high school and he just absolutely, was not fun to coach against. And it's been fun to see him kind of go to K-State. So I do have a little bit of a personal bias with him, but the numbers don't lie. He is very much an athlete that the Packers typically go after. Has played tackle at K-State. Ross has talked about this when he did the daily draft on him. He doesn't look like a Packer. He looks like a fridge, right? He is a square body type. But he moves like they like, and he's someone that I think, man, you take him, you plug him in at right guard and you just kind of forget about it for a decade. I think, if it's not in Green Bay, I think that's just going to be the type of career that he has, or maybe it's center. I don't know. But I think he finds a home quickly on someone's interior offensive line. And is a good player for them. The next player that I have, I went with Elijah Jones. That is very much the Halfley connection. I think, if he's sitting there on day three, I think Halfley just says, yeah, take him. I like him. Or maybe he doesn't. maybe that's the other thing. Maybe he goes, no, I don't want him. I don't know. But it's fun to make those connections. And it's always fun to see those parallels kind of come to fruition at the NFL level. And then my last pick was kind of just being just wild boy type take. I pick Tez Walker out of UNC. I think he kind of has flown under the radar as a Packers type. I think they brought him in for a visit. And when you watch his tape, he's someone that I think the draft process kind of chewed up and spit out. When you watched him, you know, I think a lot of people had him as like a top 50 type player. And I don't think that was fair to him because I don't think he is. And then so you turn the tape on with him, you're like, what do you mean? Like, this guy's going to go at 45. Like, he's not that type of guy. But when you start getting into the range that he probably should go in, and we're talking late day two, early day three, like, that's kind of where you're comfortable with a player like him and what he was. And it seems like they're sniffing around Christian Watson type insurance, where it's if Christian, the hamstring injuries don't get rectified, like, what do we got? What do we got, you know, behind him as far as someone that can, you know, put some fear into defenses and kind of, you know, space things out for the other guys that they have. I don't think they necessarily need that to be a high functioning offense, but I think they want that. And we saw it with Christian, even in, you know, the Dallas game. You look at a lot of what Romeo was able to do. Like, Dallas was absolutely terrified of Christian Watson in that game and how they played him, mm-hmm. opened up stuff for a lot of other guys. So I think Tez Walker could be that type of person. I think, you know, the MVS comps get thrown around way, way, way too much, but Tez Walker kind of is that, you know, that's kind of the comp for him. Tall, fast, stretch the field, catch sometimes not. But if you draft Tez Walker in round five and he has an MVS career, like, you're thrilled with that. Truthfully. So that's a guy to keep an eye on, I think, for me. I'm not going to go through Ross's and Jacobs because I'm going to actually write something for Packer Report that should come out on Wednesday to kind of go over some of these guys, and we'll have some fun with it. Owen, I'll probably throw yours in there too, because why the heck not, man? And we'll see what we get. See if we get any. You know, I don't think we've ever had a year where we didn't get any. And we'll see. And that's not to toot our own horn. That's not to say we're smarter than anyone, because we are certainly not. Just a fun exercise for nerds like us that pay way, way, way too close of attention to this stuff. And it's fun to kind of put your picks on the table and see what happens. So that is it for us. Next time you hear from us, we'll have players to talk about. And we cannot wait. Like we led the show off with a lot of fun. Owen, before we get going, do you have anything else?
No, man. Yeah, just ready for this to happen, right? Like, it's felt like this year has felt particularly long, but just excited, right? We're in the home stretch now, right? Like, now you can just kind of sit back and enjoy it. And like you said, like, now we can just sit and see who becomes a Green Bay Packer. And whether you like it or not, depending where they get picked, they're just going to be on the team. And so I'm not saying that you need to, like, immediately, like, backtrack if you didn't like a guy and be like, well, actually, like, I actually did love, like, admittedly, I did not want Green Bay to take Rashawn Gary. That was a
Rashawn guy. Rashawn Gary blocked me. I was blocked.
I still am, yeah. but, like, it's just one of those things where you can very quickly, like, rationalize it. And I think a lot of people, which is kind of dumb, a lot of people, like, oh, yeah, like, a lot of people just, like, looking through the rose-colored glasses at whatever the guy they pick. And I think that in this practice, the easy part is, and like the part that's kind of annoying probably for, is like, no one has any skin in any of the game, right? So you can have takes and you can just let them fly and none of it matters. But once someone is on the team that you cheer for, right? Like, then you can start to contextualize a little bit, because everyone's done this hypothetically for every guy in the class, right? But then once they take, whoever, Logan Lee in the seventh round.
Yes, let's go.
Then you can say, like, okay, Logan Lee can do this, can't do this. Project this role with the guys that are on the team. Think he makes it, yes or no, whatever, right? But, like, you can think whatever you want about Logan Lee now. But on Saturday, if he's a Packer, that's cool, right? Because, like, then you're cheering for his success, right? Like, I don't find any reason to actively cheer against anybody on the team you cheer for. Roster, right? If you don't like Logan Lee and he goes to the Bears, maybe you're really excited about that, right? But once you can get that, then I think part of the fun is then going back, and it's a heck a lot easier for everybody to do a deep dive on 11 guys, mm-hmm. than it is on 300 that your team may or may not draft, right? So, like, once you can just get to the draft and get those guys on your team and say, okay, let's take a look at, right, like, who Jalen Sundell, right? Like, if that's a guy, right, like, I can't imagine many Packer fans are fully in on him, right, as a – just in a knowledge perspective, right? But on Sunday, they might say, you know what, like, let's go back and watch the Bison play, right, and see what we're getting in this player, because Lord knows nobody on any network is talking about any draft pick on day three, as maddening as it is. And so once you can go through and do that, you know, that's the fun part, right? Because once they're on the team, now they're in the trenches with you,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, we are going to go win a Super Bowl together, Morley, and we're going to do it with Christian Boyd now, and let's go do it, right? Like, and so then that's the fun part for me. So excited to see these guys, and again, selfishly for me, excited to see the Shrine guys get picked, and hopefully we have around 50 or so. That would be we've had 45 and 46 the last 2 years, so we're looking for that. But all things equal, now we're just in the home stretch, and we can sit back and have a couple adult beverages and watch it all unfold, because, again, this doesn't impact us at all, which is so nice.
Nope. And even if you're very wrong about stuff as a draft pundit, you just come back the next year and go, well, I'm doing
never
it again,
wrong, you know? Really.
Exactly. And so that's so much fun. And I don't want to go off too down this road, but, like, you hit a great point when it's like, man, you look at these guys, like, even people like us, you know, that fall in love with types of players. I've watched 3, 4, maybe 5 games on them. When they're packed, I'm going to go watch every snap they've ever played that I can get my hands on. And your opinions on them can change. And like a guy like Malik Mustafa, the safety out of Wake Forest, I'm almost borderline ashamed of where I have him ranked in the guide from how I watched him at first and how I feel about him now. And that's just kind of how it goes sometimes. So you talk yourself into any of these players and you root for their success. And that's part of being a fan. That's part of doing all this thing. So I hope Packers fans are ready to welcome in, you know, 10 to 15 brand new Packers this coming weekend. And, you know, well, bring them into the family. You know, that's kind of how it is in Green Bay. Like, once you're here, you know, we'll love you if you play well, you know, and until you don't, then it turns on you pretty quick. But it's all fun. You know, that's kind of part of how sports go. But like I said, we'll have players to talk about next time we talk. So that'll be great. But until then, you guys enjoy the heck out of this weekend. Enjoy the heck out of this, this draft miss Christmas weekend for us that we all love and cherish. So we'll catch you guys next time. And until then, go Pack Go.
We made it, man.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.